So let's talk about something else that's definitely doing the rounds around Essex. This is the place to come, BBC Essex, for your local news and your opportunity to have your say. And that's absolutely what you can do now about the current proposals for the Lower Thames Crossing. Now, this, of course, is a new road and tunnel link, which will link Essex with Kent from a new junction on the M25, running across the Thames at Bolton and entering into a tunnel near East Tilbury. Well, both Thurrock Council and the Woodland Trust have said they're against the current proposals. Thurrock Council says it's worried that 2,000 businesses and 55,000 residents living nearby will be impacted during the construction work and the years after. The Woodland Trust also say the level of impact could make this scheme one of the most damaging road projects in England. But at the same time, we've got to balance out the need for easing of congestion in the Thurrock area. You'll only need to listen to a BBC Essex travel bulletin, and I would say you've got about a 50-50 chance that there's going to be congestion in the M25. And when the M25 gets snarled up, the whole of Thurrock is at a standstill. So if you live in the Thurrock area, what do you make of these plans? If you're a regular user of the M25, do we need a second crossing? And how and where do we put it? You may think it is much needed for infrastructure. Well, National Highways is currently holding consultation events around the county, and they'll have one at Tilbury Community Association this afternoon. We're going to speak to them shortly. Sarah Muldowney's a Labour councillor for Chadwell St Mary and sits on the Lower Thames Crossing Task Force Committee. She joins me now. Hi to you, Sarah.
Hi.
Hi. What do you want to say? I mean, Thurrock Council have come out and said 2,000 businesses and 55,000 residents could be impacted by this.
I mean, yes. I mean, as you say, I've sat on the Lower Thames Crossing Task Force for the last 3 years. And really, everything that I hear brings me to the conclusion we're going to get all the pain in Thurrock without any obvious gain. And that includes the original reason for having this road in the first place, to relieve the congestion on the Dartford crossing. The council's been looking at the traffic modelling data that has been provided by National Highways and has come to the conclusion that this new road, 8.2 billion we believe it's going to cost, will only relieve about 4% of the traffic across the Dartford crossing. Now, we need to relieve about 25% of that traffic.
Surely it won't, though. So, I mean,
surely,
Sarah, if the M25 is blocked up, traffic will divert to the alternative crossing, hence easing the congestion through Thurrock that we often see, won't it?
They've looked at the traffic modelling data and that's the conclusion that they've come to. I mean, even the National Highways figure of they now think that it's going to relieve about 20% of the traffic from their figures is still not enough to bring that Dartford crossing back to under design capacity. So from my point of view, which is a very local point of view from Thurrock, and particularly for the residents that live in Chadwell St Mary, which is my ward, we're going to have devastating effects and impacts from the building of this road, not to mention the sheer cost of it to the taxpayer, for very little relief. You know, it would be absolutely heartbreaking for my area to go through all this upheaval, the air pollution, the health impacts, which still really haven't been properly acknowledged.
I was
going to
say, just go into you said devastating impacts in what way? What are you talking about? What are the impacts going to be, do you think, that are going to cause devastation to people in Chadwell St Mary and around?
For example, if we look at my area in Chadwell St Mary, we've got some of the highest rates of respiratory and heart disease outside London. So we're talking about diseases like COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. People who are suffering from these diseases, the six plus years that the construction will take will have an impact on those people's health. On the task force in the past, I've called for a fund to actually mitigate some of these issues, health issues that are going to impact my residents. But nothing's come of that. There's no fund to help people move away if, you know, it's going to severely impact their health. And I think we're still waiting for the health impacts data, so it's difficult to say while we still wait for that. I've been waiting for that for 3 years, what the actual effects are going to be. But I mean, you know, you have to think that some people with these diseases are going to have their lives shortened. So, I mean, that is the very, very human impact at a local level in my ward for my residents.
Do you think we need a second crossing is needed, Sarah?
I mean, obviously, we all want to relieve the congestion on the Dartford Crossing. I mean, anybody who lives close to the Dartford Crossing and uses it regularly, as I do, as a lot of my residents do, can see that there is a need for something. What I question is this the right route? As you know, if it's only going to relieve 4% of that congestion and we're going to be back here, you know, in less than a decade having the same conversation about how we relieve this congestion on our roads, is that worth £8.2 billion of taxpayers' money? I mean, I would say definitely not. You know, and there are all the other impacts to local businesses along the route. I mean, we're talking about 20% of our local businesses that are going to be impacted. We're talking about 12,500 employees. So that's 20%. Sorry, a third of our local employers are going to be impacted, and 20% of our local jobs. We've been told on the task force that there are great opportunities for local people to gain employment, etc. However, when we've drilled down into what National Highways are actually offering on the task force and asked them to commit to saying, right, you know, even 1, 2, 3, 4, 5% of the jobs that we're going to create on this scheme will go to local people in Thurrock, they're not prepared to do that. They're not even prepared to tell us 1% of those new jobs will actually come and benefit the people of Thurrock. So, you know, I'm still waiting to hear the benefits. It still sounds like all the pain with none of the gain for our local area, and not even relieving the congestion that we've got at the Dartford Crossing.
Sarah Maldoney, thanks for joining us. Labour councillor for Chadwell St Mary will put some of her points through to the Highways Association and shortly, National Highways shortly. Jack Taylor from the Woodland Trust is listening to that. Hi to you, Jack.
Hello, how are you doing?
Hi. What are your concerns? And you've got people on your websites, I see. You know, they can just register their details and immediately object to the plans. Why?
Yeah, well, I mean, the reason we're doing this is because there's such a significant loss of ancient woodland and veteran trees from the scheme. I mean, we've said that it's probably going to be one of the most damaging road schemes in England in this respect. And all the evidence kind of points to that being the case. But the problem is that there's so many other sort of kind of issues, as kind of Sarah alluded to as well, about the lack of detail and the lack of transparency from National Highways with this scheme. You know, the public need to understand exactly what the impact's going to be on them, on their local habitats, on the local environment. But there's just simply no way of knowing that at the moment because you know, that information's not forthcoming.
Similar claims came up in the Crossrail when we've spoken about this in the past, Jack. I mean, there is a greater need for the roads to be able to cope with the amount of traffic. So, is there not an acceptable amount of green space we're going to have to lose as a result of this?
Yeah, I guess that's a matter of kind of personal opinion, really, in my mind and in the mind of our supporters and our organisation. The answer to that is no. I mean, you know, National Highways and the government have a duty to ensure that our most precious habitats and our most iconic species are being protected from potentially damaging infrastructure schemes. You know, there's commitments to ensure sort of net zero carbon by 2050 as well. So, you know, there's so much work to do in terms of kind of protection of these habitats and the kind of reversing the kind of impacts of climate change that we need to be doing things in the smartest way possible. We just don't think that's happening here. You know, we need to be protecting these habitats. Otherwise, we're going to be in dire times.
Is there, and you'll know the landscape better than I will from a green perspective, is there a better place for it to go? Or do you think actually there is nowhere or there is no alternative that you would be happy with for this sort of construction to take place?
It's hard to say. So, I mean, in terms of what's going to be most impacted, in Essex, the impacts on kind of ancient woods and veteran trees are more limited than they are in the kind of Kent side of the scheme. You know, there's Shaunwoods Country Park down there along the kind of A2M2 that is really important site. You know, it's designated as a site of special scientific interest on account of the kind of precious woodland that's there and the species that inhabit it. We haven't seen any proposals that would suggest any kind of lesser impact. But you know, there has to be some kind of thinking around this when you're looking at something that's going to result in what we estimate to be about 10 hectares worth of ancient woodland loss, loss of dozens of veteran trees as well. You know, there has to be a kind of alternative options explored. We haven't seen anything in that regard. And if they can't do that, then our feeling is that they shouldn't be going ahead with it. It's just not appropriate to be destroying these habitats in this time, in this climate of kind of nature and climate crises.
And quite a common comment that a developer would say to you to that is to say, oh well, look, we'll destroy this much, but we'll replant it. What's wrong with that? Just explain what's wrong with that approach.
So I mean, when we're talking about ancient woodland, we're talking about woods that have been around for centuries, more often than not, millennia. You know, they've been standing there, part of the kind of landscape and part of the UK for hundreds of thousands of years. And you can't just dig these places up and put them elsewhere. A lot of them are home to really sensitive and vulnerable species that can only live in these certain types of habitats that have been around for such a long amount of time. You know, when you cut them down and you say, oh well, you know, we'll replant elsewhere, it's going to take hundreds of years to start replicating anywhere near the type of habitat that's been lost. I guess the sort of equivalent would be saying, you know, well, let's take down St. Paul's Cathedral in London and just move it down the road, move it somewhere else. We'll rebuild it brick by brick, it'll be fine, it'll look the same, right? But you know, it just isn't, you know, that's not how these sorts of things work. And I think we need to look at these kind of precious natural habitats as we do with our sort of kind of built heritage as well. You know, it's just as important. And they're kind of, they're echoes of time, really, showing us what our kind of past generations and ancestors were doing and how they lived. And now, you know, our relationship has changed a little bit with these kind of woodland sites. We rely on them less for our sort of day-to-day life. But in terms of the sort of kind of well-being and the kind of recreation they bring and their importance to, you know, carbon sequestration and homes for rare and threatened species, you know, their value is priceless.
Jack Taylor from the Woodland Trust, we will leave it there. Your thoughts welcome on this.